ESPN Radio 93.5,
95.3. Well, we are appreciative of all of you that say you really like Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny Mondays and Fridays. And boy, we hear it too. Thank you so much, Brother Johnny in New Orleans. Johnny.
Stevie Dave. Good morning.
Mike Ditka, Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. Coach has been on TV all weekend. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Everything's great.
Tragedy in the NFL. Josh Brent driving, allegedly under the influence Friday night. His Mercedes flips. His roommate and best friend, Jerry Brown, killed in that car accident.
He had no shoes on, and he had what appeared to be deep gashes on his head. It is not clear when he will be back before a judge. Meantime, we are learning more about the relationship between these two teammates. They were great friends both on and off the field, a friendship that started in Illinois when they both played college ball together from 2007 to 2009, and they were roommates here in Texas. They were reportedly on their way home from a club in Dallas early yesterday morning when Brent lost control of his Mercedes-Benz and flipped it. He pulled 25-year-old Jerry Brown from the burning car, but the Cowboys linebacker died at an area hospital.
Both former Illini football players, they observed a moment of silence at the banquet last night for Jerry Brown, and of course recognize the fact that Josh Brent, who's really in trouble here with intoxicated manslaughter is the charge. Mike Ditka, it's a tragedy, and certainly, unfortunately, drinking under the influence is probably not a shocking revelation. It's a tragedy when this kind of thing happens. Can the league do anything about such things?
Well, they have a lot of programs in place that if the players reach out, they can get a lot of help and find out. No, this is not something new. This has happened forever, but there's a mentality out there, Steve, that I'm bulletproof or I'm invisible or it won't happen to me. That's the mentality of a professional athlete. And I think I could probably say all of us probably at one time or another have probably driven a car when we were a little impaired. It's so wrong. It's so hard to make these young people understand that there's just nothing you can get out of it. I mean, they have car services. If you want to go out and drink, that's your prerogative. But do not drive. Get in a car service. Listen, take $50 out of your pocket and get a cab. Do anything, but do not drive a car. Now, this kid's life is ruined. I mean, his life is really ruined as far as I can tell because he made this choice that he's going to drive under the influence.
No question about it, Stevie. It's just a shame. And but, you know, Mike's right. We all have either done it or been around someone doing it. And it's part of our culture, in all honesty. We have worked hard on that for 30 years. I will say that. That's been a change that I've noticed over the last few decades.
Yeah, you're right, John. It's getting better. But I think the league has done so much in an effort to, you know, educate these young players about guns and alcohol and where to go, where not to go, places are out of bounds. And when you find your way into these situations, it's not like you don't understand what the problem could be coming out. I mean, you understand there could be a bad situation. You just don't think about it sometimes. But unfortunately, they got to start thinking. Because here's a kid, you know, he's driving a Mercedes. He's making over $1 million a year. He had a great life. He really did. Jerry Brown was a guy that was just, you know, he was on the practice squad, so he had potential to make that football team, and his earning power had been significantly raised. But, you know, his life's over, and the other kid's basic life is over also. So, I mean, what's the gain in this?
Yeah, and it's just a terrible accident. Sure, a big loss for everybody. What are you going to do, CJ?
Is there any way to understand the macho feel of a league that has, A, guys that are physical specimens, B, they're celebrities, C, they have wealth, and I guess, again, as you said, Mike, this isn't happening to me. I've got this. I'm okay.
Well, yeah, that bulletproof thing, really, I mean, I really mean it. It happens to all of us. I mean, I've been guilty of it when I was young. I mean, we just don't think it's going to happen to us. You know, it can happen to somebody else, but certainly not me. And I'm okay to do this, and I'm fine. I'm not impaired, but you really are. I mean, it's silly. You know, I think back in my life sometimes, and I wonder, my God, I was awfully lucky, you know, to get where I got when I was trying to get there instead of ending up in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, and that's, of course, the probably celebrity factor is part of that. But, Mike, all the young kids, you know, it's not necessarily athletic related. I mean, you know, they, I just see it all over the country. And, you know, kids
you're
going
right.
out having
you're
fun.
Right.
I mean,
it's not anything that's just about athletes. It happens to all
exactly.
young people.
Exactly.
You're right. They want to get a kick. I want to do this. I want to be out late.
And
you know, nothing good happens after 1 o'clock at night, guys. We know that.
Yeah.
We were bulletproof, Steve. When
yep.
we were
no, I, no question about it. And I think, too, again, but you're right, Johnny, from certainly 60s and 70s to now, we have evolved to a society kind of like smoking. It's not acceptable to drink and drive. It's not acceptable to be drugged and to operate a vehicle. I think we have evolved in a good way that direction, but it's still a shame when tragedies like this occur. There's no question. It's brother Johnny Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, 95.3. Around the NFL League yesterday, last night, it was the frozen tundra.
And the ball slips out of Stafford's hands, and the ball is loose, and it's picked up by the Packers by Mike Daniels, and that is the all-time Christmas gift touchdown.
You kind of expect to see snow swirling in Lambeau Field, Mike. Packers pull it out over the Lions.
Well, you know, the Packers, I really like the Packers, what they're doing, but they were pretty lucky last night to have that happen. I mean, I thought Detroit went out of their way to lose the football game.
I did
after they got 14-0. I thought they went out of their way to lose it. And right now, this is probably the mentality in Detroit more than winning is, you know, they find ways to lose.
Well, that starts to happen. But I got to ask you, from a coaching standpoint, of course, I like to think that I know strategy. But, Mike, you've got Aaron Rodgers, and it's 3rd and 11. You're down 7. You got plenty of time. It's like the middle of the third quarter. You rush 3 guys. I don't understand that because Aaron Rodgers is going to buy himself time. You give enough time to him and those receivers. I just don't understand that defensive play, a rush 3 on Aaron Rodgers with 3rd and 11. Because
I think it was one where they did that too, John, that he ended up running the ball for a first down.
For a touchdown.
So, I mean, a touchdown. Yeah, he ran it for a touchdown. So, I don't profess to know the mentality of these defensive coordinators. Evidently, they thought they would try to cover everybody. The Packers right now, they needed this game, guys. They have 4 key football players out right now. Now, when they get them,
they're
them
coming
people
back,
out,
though, slowly.
You know, but here's the thing. It's a 3-game season, guys. You know, Lovie hit it right on the button. It's no longer a 16-game season for the Bears. It's a 3-game season, period. So, I mean, they control their own destiny. You know what they have to do. They want to get in the playoff. They want to win that division. They got to win 3 games. That's all there is to it. It's nothing else. It's not complicated. You know, I don't have this equation. This team has to lose. I have to win. They have to win 3 games.
Well, and the Bears have their chance against Green Bay next week, I think.
Right, exactly. But the Bears have their problems, too.
Yeah.
And their problems are injuries. And you can, when you have injuries to significant starters on your football team, whether it be Urlacher or Jennings or whoever, it's hard to replace those people. Somebody else has to step up. Right now, those people haven't stepped up. Now, Cutler got hit again yesterday. I don't know if he got a concussion or what happened to him. But now, this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because if they don't have Cutler, they don't have a chance.
Amazing. But again, injuries really the downfall of the Bears at this point, this slide, 4 of the last 5. But you got to be healthy.
Yeah, I really think so. I don't see a whole lot of things that are different besides the injury.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Both Cutler and Urlacher, Steve, these are the quarterbacks of both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I would think the Arizona Cardinal guys got real problems. They lose 58-0, 9th loss in a row. Ken Weisenhart, they're not going to fire him today, are they?
Well, it's hard to say, but Ken Weisenhart didn't play one down. And those quarterbacks in the game are horrible. They got 3 bad quarterbacks. Okay, we understand all that. But none of those quarterbacks played on defense. Not one of them played on defense for one snap. And they scored 58 points in the National Football League today against a professional football team. And the other team was terrible. Now, the other team played the Jets last week, lost 7-6. I think at one point they had 7, and you know, for the game they had 7 first downs.
Yeah.
Scored 6 points. They had 74 yards passing.
Whoa.
Now, somewhere the light ought to go off. The light ought to go off in your mind or your owner's mind or the coach's mind. This is not good. I mean, we got to find something else. And you know, you look at Larry Fitzgerald, he's one of the best receivers in football. I mean, he's running around out there getting open, and they can't get the ball to him. So, you know, it's crazy.
Well, and I think the Cardinals had eight turnovers. Eight turnovers? Oh, my goodness.
They started 4-0. Don't forget that.
Yeah, yeah.
4-9.
All right, Johnny, the Saints, sorry, it just didn't happen.
Well, Mike, I tell you, it was tough. It starts out, so we kick him the ball, and the guy runs 67 yards.
Yeah.
We get a pick six, kick him off, he runs at 95 yards.
Wow.
And then we get a field goal after driving 90 yards across the field, which I wouldn't even kick the field goal, but, I mean, that's fine. But kick it off, he runs at 55 yards. Look, I turned off television. Because, Mike, you're not going to win a game when your first three kickoffs end up with the net 220 yards. You're going to lose that game. And this is with the new kickoff line.
They don't return kicks like that. John, with the league wants to get rid of the kickoff. I think it's so important for the game of football. It's such an exciting play. The coverage and the kickoff return. I think you saw what that happened yesterday with Wilson. I mean, he set some kind of a record on return.
Oh, sure.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's great if you're a Giant, but I'll tell you, Mike, you know you're going to lose that game.
It's bad if you're a Saint.
Yeah. ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3, this segment of Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny brought to you by Big Grove Tavern. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, great Monday night tonight. Houston and New England, this could be a preview of something big, couldn't it, Mike?
Well, I think they are the two best teams in the AFC. I don't think there's any question about that. It's going to be interesting to me to see what the mentality of Houston will be going into New England. New England's very confident, well-coached, great quarterback, good football team all around. It's going to be interesting because, you know, the stage starts getting bigger for Houston. You know, they got to step up a little bit right now. So they're going into New England Monday Night Football, and they got a chance to send the message to everybody in the National Football League about who they are. Now, if they go in there and get their butts whipped, then people are going to understand, well, they're just another team that has a good record, a lot like Atlanta. I believe Atlanta is just another team. I really do. They have a great record. They clinch. People say, well, they took it easy. No, they didn't. If you look at the way they have won games and how many games they've won by 1 point or 2 points, if they would have went the other way, the Atlanta would be in the middle of the pack. So
I don't think
they're a good team.
You've got to look at who they played. We went down the list, and you never know because seasons are new seasons. And you look at Atlanta's schedule, and it's like when we were looking at that earlier, what are our chances? We just like, okay, wild card, because they don't play anybody. I don't know how many teams they've played that have a winning record the whole year.
Do they have Carolina again?
I think they do. I'm not sure about
Carolina,
that.
Carolina, you know, what I saw yesterday, Carolina has the potential to be one of those teams that can beat just about anybody with Cam Newton if they get that thing working the right way. I'm just saying, if. Now, they got it working the right way yesterday, but I don't know if they can do that every week.
So if Green Bay's the one that starts winning, they could still win that home field. Although they've got three or four losses, don't they?
They have four, but you know, can they win it? Yeah, I think that home field, John, it's going to be very important. I really do. But I think the bye week is more important to some of these teams. And I heard everybody, well, you got to go in and stay on a roll. No, you got to get some people healthy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This year too. Actually, going to Atlanta isn't that big of a problem. I agree with you, Mike. I think, really, if you can just get the bye week, that's the number two seed.
Well,
whoever gets that is going to be in good spot.
And I tell you, how many times have we seen, you know, the team with not the greatest record, they just get hot, like the Giants last year.
Well, how many times have you seen the Giants in the last 5 years? They've done it twice.
Yeah, right. ESPN 93.5, 95.3. Okay, let's go to politics. Fiscal cliff yesterday at the White House. John Boehner, Speaker of the House, meets with President Barack Obama, and they both didn't run to the microphones. They both issued a press statement, three sentences. Hey, we're talking about it. That's all we're saying. I think that's positive, the fact that they didn't run out and trash each other, Johnny.
That is good. Well, you know, let's see what they come up with. I'm hoping they come up with something. I'm pessimistic, Mike. I'm sorry. After what I've seen, I don't have a lot of confidence in the ability to work together.
Well, again, John, you have to be pessimistic from what you've seen, but I do believe there is some optimism on my part that sane minds will prevail and they'll understand that this is not about a party or it's not about an ideology. It's about America. It's about the country. It's about finding the best way to move this country forward and not backward. And I hope they understand that. I really do. And I think they do. And I think they'll I think something will happen.
Well, and I think, Stevie, that we're at a point where everybody at least understands that something has to be done. I'm not convinced that they're going to do what has to be done, but we're in trouble. We are actually in trouble, and I'm hoping that we don't have to pay the kind of price that we may have to pay in terms of strife if we don't work something out. So well, it's out of our hands at this point, I think, guys. I mean, we all voted.
It's in the hands of the people who we elected. And so, you know, in a sense, yeah, it's out of our hands. It's in their hands, and hopefully they do the right thing.
All right. It's got till January 1st. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 23 days. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So it looms, and will the president go to Hawaii if this isn't done, or will he?
Oh, I'm sure he will.
He got 17 days planned in Hawaii. The old two-jet deal where Michelle will go with the kids and Brock joins them. I don't know what. Anyway, let's go to the China story. This reminds me of the Japanese story in the 80s. Over $7 billion in U.S. housing market purchased by China. $7 billion. Does that worry me in any way, Johnny?
$7 billion. In the U.S.
Yep.
housing market.
Yep, they're coming in and they're snapping up property, and it's Chinese-owned.
That's interesting. I don't know that it worries me, but I think that their confidence in our economy is higher than mine. I don't think I'd buy $7 billion.
Well, maybe if we don't like what they're doing, we'll just make a new rule with our government and confiscate all the property back from them. Who knows?
That's a risk.
All these rules and regulations anyways, but no, listen, I think China is very smart. They're investing in our country because they know the potential is here a lot greater than the potential in their country.
Well, and they also have a lot of stake in us now. They're kind of
a lot. Yeah.
They're trying to help us. So, yeah. But you know, we've had investors from foreign countries over the last 20 or 30 years. Steve, look at our farmland in the middle of the United States. Lots of foreign investors buying land in, for sure, Illinois, Iowa, and Ohio. And the people in other countries feel a lot better about the dollar than their currency. They want to buy. They don't want their currency in the bank. They want to have something worth something, a value. So they buy land where they think it'll hold value. That's where they think they can preserve their wealth. That's the thing. It isn't any kind of diabolical takeover of the U.S. They want to buy something that'll hold its value.
Right.
I hope they're right.
Yeah. All right. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, final question. A James Bond movie, Skyfall, back to number one. The thing has just been a raging hit all over the world. What is the allure of James Bond except he reminds you of Mike Ditka? What else?
I wish I had the rights, or I would have been smart enough to think about it. I mean, I love to watch him. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue, and, you know, some of it's not very believable, but still, you know, it's pretty well-written stuff, and I like it. So I'll watch that movie.
It's high-moving, fast, and it's extremely adventurous. But I also got to tell you, that was an interesting choice with Daniel Craig.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's been a big hit. He's so different than the other Bonds. And I think people like that new James Bond. Daniel Craig's doing a good job.
I tell you, there's no question. Anyway, fun stuff. Mike, we'll watch you tonight, ESPN. Great Monday night game. Houston and New England, you look great on television as always.
Well, thank you, guys, and I'll talk to you Friday.
All right, thank you. Right. Thanks, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, DJ. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Johnny today in New Orleans. Mike Ditka today from Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN. And they'll be on tonight again with that great Houston Texan at New England game, a real good Monday night football game. ESPN 93.5, 95.3, 754.
Hey, guys, it's Jeremy Warner from the Tay and Jay Show. And this Illini basketball season, Lante and I are taking our show on the road. It's the Tay and Jay Road Show on ESPN 93.5.